I'm going to talk a little bit about Shavuot and some of the traditions. It's one of the three pilgrimage festivals that are commanded in the Torah in Exodus 23, 14 through 17, and Deuteronomy 16, 16. In Hebrew, the name Shavuot means weeks. It's derived from the command in 16, 19 of Deuteronomy, which says, "You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. You shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain." So right after Passover, we start counting 50 days, and here we are. The day is in dispute as to when the count's supposed to begin and when it isn't. You know, you get two Jews, you get three opinions. So everybody has an opinion about when the holiday is. So this is the only holiday we don't really know when it is. So we celebrate it when we can. Tomorrow is the rabbinic holiday celebration, tomorrow and Monday. Today is our celebration because we don't have a building tomorrow. If we had a building, we could do it tomorrow, but who knows if that's the correct day to begin with. Some people celebrate it next week, and some celebrate it some other time. But it's originally celebrated as a harvest festival. The Torah calls it the Feast of Harvest, the Festival of Harvest, the first fruits of your labor that you sow in the field, Exodus 23, 16. It would occur at the end of the barley crop and the beginning of the wheat crop. In rabbinic literature, it's also called Yom HaBikurim, or the Day of First Fruits, although we have another holiday right after Passover called the Feast of First Fruits. This is also the Feast of First Fruits, but this commemorates the wheat crop. That was the barley, right? Those who come from nearby bring figs and grapes. Those who come from afar bring what? Dried figs and grapes, raisins, I think they call them. Yeah, because if you're far away, what's going to happen to your figs and grapes? They're going to dry up, unless you got a refrigerator semi. And I don't think in the old days they had one of those. Okay, and they arrived in Jerusalem. There was a flutist. We have a flutist here, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, it plays before them until they arrived near Jerusalem, so you would be ahead of them as they're bringing their fruits. And the high officers, chiefs, and treasurer of the temple would come out to meet them. Isn't that exciting? And they would get their first fruits would be presented to the temple, to the priests. So, as Messianic believers today, though, we come to celebrate Shavuot as one of the Lord's appointed times. These are one of the seven feast days that are in Leviticus 23, right? And we are to remember how it was commemorated in ancient times. Obviously, we can't do the temple worship anymore because we don't have a temple until it's rebuilt. So until then, we have to do what we can. You're supposed to bring in, according to Leviticus, 2 loaves of bread. There you are. And so there you are. There's not too many instructions about how to celebrate this holiday. You're supposed to bring in 2 loaves of bread. That's about it. What is the challenge of us celebrating today? How do we do this? It's pretty hard. Most of the celebration surrounding this holiday seems to be focused on the Word of God as a great gift that Father gives us. The Word of God was not exclusively given at Mount Sinai, but the scene of Mount Sinai covered in smoke and fire and surrounded by the presence of God is very awesome to contemplate, right? And Shavuot is a worthy time to remember that, since that's the day Moses came down from the mountain with what? The Torah. Okay, it's a good day. We're commanded during Passover to eat unleavened bread. Before that, on Shavuot, the priest had to offer 2 leavened loaves. Those are leavened loaves. So we're back to sinning again. Yeah, bringing the leavened loaves may indicate that the giving of Torah on the Mount Sinai on that date should be understood as the culmination of a process of redemption from slavery that began on Passover, when only matzah could be consumed. Just as the 2 loaves mark the staple of our physical existence, so the historical process that began with the Exodus and culminated with the giving of the Torah reflects our essence of our spiritual existence, right? the teachings of Yeshua mirror the fact that bread alone is not sufficient for our well-being. Man does not live by
bread alone.
Yeah, Yeshua refused Satan in the wilderness by saying that. But on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is how we live. Yeshua was quoting directly from Deuteronomy 8:3 when he said that in Matthew 4:4. And there's where Moses reminded the ancient Israelites, he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Guess who said that? Moses said that. Yeshua just repeated it. When we celebrate Shavuot, how many of us stop to consider the importance of the Word of God in our lives and how important it is not only to know the Scriptures, but guess what? You don't have to just know that stuff and put it in your head, but you have to live it out in your lives. You have to live your lives as if you are a walking Torah. You might be the only Torah that a person down the street sees. When you walk out of here, you are an example of what God gave us. There are many traditions that have evolved during the Second Temple time. Of course, there's no temple anymore, so a lot of those traditions are gone, but we've kept the traditions. We do a lot of traditions, even here. Even though we say we don't do traditions, we do traditions, don't we? Just being here is a tradition. That's right. You're not supposed to be here. Yeah. The Jewish people, though, the mystics, the Kabbalists, get devoted to studying passages of the Bible and the Talmud and what they call the Zohar. And they usually stay up all night during Shavuot. So tonight, don't go to bed. Stay up. Join me because I never sleep anyway anymore since I came back from Israel. I quit sleeping in Israel. Israel cured me of what the affliction I had. It's called sleeping. Haven't been able to sleep since I got back. So I guess that was a nasty habit I had that I've been released from. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so now I could be a light to the nations. Of course, my light is pretty dim. Yeah. So staying up all night and studying is really not on my radar. But I will try. You know, if I do wake up, I'll give you all a call tonight about 3. Hey, Roger, I can't sleep. Come on over. Let's study Torah. All right? You'll come, right? Sure he will. Yeah, he will. Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to be a light to the nation. So if you choose to stay up all night, do so with the intention of the Lord using you as a light to others. So you better go out there and witness. I know Brenda did that in Israel. She couldn't sleep. She went out and about. She witnessed to all kinds of different people, didn't you? Ran into Chabads and Arabs. And she was witnessing to all kinds of beautiful people. Okay, common scriptures that are examined by the Jewish community is the book of Psalms. They read that all night. David wrote many of the Psalms. You know what? David was born and died on Shavuot. So they associate that with him. In certain communities of the Sephardic Jews, a ketubah, or marriage contract, is read before the ark containing the Torah scroll in the synagogue. So maybe we could do that next year. Write a ketubah and read it to the Torah. Per the opinion that God was married to Israel at Mount Sinai. Another common scripture that's read at Shavuot is the book of Ruth. Ruth is closely connected, what would you say? To David as his great-great-grandmother. And because the story occurs at harvest time, that's why the book of Ruth is read. It's not uncommon to be decorated in plants and flowers. There's some flowers. Could have brought some, guys. This is frequently based on Proverbs 3:18, which says that the Torah is a tree of life to those who take hold of it. Right? We say that every week.
Yeah.
Okay. Mount Sinai originally was a great green mountain. Did you know that? With trees and shrubs. Apparently, according to the rabbi's commentary. but you know, now it's just a rocky place, right? Dairy foods and honey are traditionally eaten during Shavuot for a number of important reasons. One reason is the Jewish view that Song of Songs 4:11, honey and milk are under your tongue, pertains to the Torah. Another view is that the prohibition of boiling a kid in its mother's milk is given right after the offerings for Shavuot. In Exodus 23:19, you're not supposed to do that. Another opinion, I told you Jews have three opinions, two Jews, is that Israelites were exposed for the first time to the wondrous world of Torah, like newborns, and just as babies, Shalom, are you still drinking milk? Is baby Shalom still drinking milk? Hasn't graduated to Kool-Aid or nothing? Good. She's still drinking milk. So Jews commemorate the moments at Mount Sinai by drinking and eating only dairy foods, just like a newborn baby. Another traditional food that we eat is cheese blintzes. Anybody bring any? No blintzes? God, what is wrong with you people? These are thin crepes that are filled with various sweet cheeses. Wouldn't you like some sweet cheeses right now? Up and topped with fruits. Or you said you were hungry. Or jams. In other communities, triangular dumplings are eaten, stuffed with three types of cheese. Three types of cheese. Because the Bible consists of three parts, the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. And guess what? The Torah was given to God by God today, which is the third month of the year, the month of Sivan. It's number three. And it was given through Moses. Guess what? He was the third child born to his parents. Did you know that? 3:3:3. And he was given it to a people divided into three groups, priests, Levites, and just plain ordinary folk. Israelites, they called them. You know the difference between an Israelite and an Israeli. An Israelite has 96% fewer calories. than an Israeli. Another important feature non-Orthodox Jews have is a ceremony of confirmation when teenagers acknowledge having completed a formal course of study on the Torah and commit themselves to its teaching. Sometimes they have bar mitzvahs on this day. Little children, three-year-olds. Kyle's 3 years old, isn't he? Well, if he were Jewish today, he would go and get his hair cut for the first time in his life. And guess what? As soon as he got done with that, they would put a yarmulke on him, a kippah, for the first time in his life, and he would begin to wear that and start growing his payas. What do you think of that, Kyle? I don't think Kyle's happy with that. Kyle saying, I'm glad I'm not Jewish. But that's what they do today. So these are some great things about Shavuot. I'm not going to continue and go on and bore you to death with all this stuff. It's a great holiday. What happened at Shavuot when Moses came down with the Torah? He got angry. Why? They were building a golden calf. They were worshiping false idols. They had turned to idolatry. God, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And that's what they did. They waited and waited and waited. When's this guy coming back? When's our daddy coming home? We're hungry. And he came down and he got angry and he threw the tablets of Torah at the golden calf. And he ground it into powder and he made them drink it. And then he drew a line in the sand and he said, whoever follows me, cross this line. And everybody kind of crossed the line, except for what? 3,000 people who died that day. And then we go to another Shavuot. In Acts chapter 2, Yeshua had just ascended into heaven. He had just gone away, and they're standing on the south steps of the Temple Mount. We were there, and they were standing there, and all of a sudden, this great whoosh come down from heaven, right? Out of the sky, and they're all filled. This is the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, or chapter 3, depending on which Bible you read. And the Spirit of the Lord will be poured out on all flesh. And so, how many people were saved that day? 3,000, the same number that died on that other Shavuot. What a contrast, receiving the law and receiving the Spirit all on the same day. And so when I put on my tefillin every morning and I pray to God, I enthrone the word on my left side of my body. That's the law. That's the written word, the Torah, because it contains the scriptures. And so I'm ready on my left side because I spell the name Shaddai on my body. And then the right side is just filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, because this is my temple now. So when you bring that bread up here, you're bringing it to me, to my temple, and to your temple too, represented by my temple. But each of you has the temple within you. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and you enthrone the word on you in the morning when you put on your tefillin. What an awesome thing that is. And so when I do that every morning, I start the day off right. You can't start the day off any better than that. Even a cup of coffee isn't as good. Hallelujah. So God bless you. Thank you all for listening.